From YouTube.
If you have been married for a while, is that you will begin to wonder, you know, what on earth am I doing here? You know, why am I even married? I don't know, married people have thought that, I've thought like that. So why marriage is marriage important? Let's just start from there, because we're talking about retaining the passion in your marriage. Okay, so is marriage even important? So what are the reasons for marriage? There are a few of them, I can't list all of them here today, but I'll mention a few. There are a few reasons why God created marriage and why marriage is important. It's good for us to go back to the basics. You know, it's good for us to go back to the basics sometimes. Somebody asked me this week that, you know, what is the purpose of marriage? Why do we even need to marry? You know, so I need to put on my babies. And I'm off. Is the F is from? Oh, there's echo. Sorry, guys, echo, just give us some time. Just output the F so that I'll be glad. But I'm not just saying on video. Sorry, guys, 1 minute. The echo is coming from there. Can they just move to that? Oh, wow. 1 minute, guys. 1 minute, guys. I need to put on the airphone. We're just trying to get this going. This is our first official webinar. So, just give us some time. Don't worry, once you get going, you'll enjoy the whole thing. I hope that there's an echo, so now we're trying to get that. So, can you hear me? So that you know for sure if you are hearing me or not. Sorry, guys, just walk to me. Intense isolation to punish. So that I'm just trying to show you, if isolation was not an issue, you know, it won't be used as a criminal punishment. It's a thing because we were created for connection. I'm moving fast. Number two, reason why God made marriage is for us to complement each other. You see, we do better when we come together. Nobody has 100% strength. The way you were made, you have some strengths and you have some weaknesses. So the way it works is that when two people marry, and usually opposites attract. So when two people marry, you see that they come with certain strengths, and the other person comes with different strengths, and that makes us more rounded, makes us more balanced. So somebody is not very jovial, he usually marries someone that is jovial, and that brings the joy into their own life. Cooking something in my house, and there's so much preparing. We are better people in the family. All right, so so we complement each other. Someone is not good with handling money, marry somebody that is good with handling money. That is how it comes. Someone is not good with one. So basically, we complement. The Bible said two are better than one. They will have a good reward. Two are always better than one. They will produce better. Okay, let me move as fast as I can. Number three, marriage was created for sex. For sex, my brother, my sister. Marriage was created for sex. I'm telling you, hey, I didn't want to talk too much about this one. My brother, sex is important. Let's not tell single people this thing. But sex is important. Some people will literally run mad if they don't have a healthy sex life. You know, so sex is important. There's a way it balances us, it relaxes us, makes us feel better, you know. I mean, if we didn't need it, God won't create it. And the Bible makes it clear that one of the purposes for marriage is to make sure we don't fall into sexual relationships, that we're able to meet that need for sexual passion. So I'm trying to not spend time in sex. All right? That's courteous. I don't have how to pronounce it. One like that. So I'm talking about companionship, complementing each other, courteous. The fourth one is children. For children, God wants children. God wants this world to multiply. Without marriages, you know, families won't be raised. God wants godly seed. He said, why did he bring two together? So that they might have a godly seed. So children is a major, major, major part of why God wants marriage. And the fifth one, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The fifth one, which I'm going to stop it to move to something else, is for character. See, there's nothing that tests your character like marriage. There's nothing that builds your character like marriage. I'm telling you, everybody thought they are great until they got married. Everybody thought, if you see me, I am to say that I'm such a good person. If you don't do me, if you know me, I'm a good marry first. I'm even skeptical now about relationship coaches that are not married that are teaching about marriage. Now, I can understand relationship coaches teaching about relationship. That's fine. But if relationship, you are not married and you want to teach about marriage, my brother, you have no clue what we're talking about. As a matter of fact, I would like you to marry for a while yourself before you can start talking. Because if you're not married, you're not married. You don't know what we're talking about. Yes. And even when you do get married, 1 or 2 years of marriage is different from 5 year mark because there's different challenges there. Even from 10 years mark, not from 20 years and upwards like that, you experience change in time. There are several stages in a marriage. That's not today's topic. All right. So the point is that marriage will test your character because usually you come into marriage, you know, looking for only the good in your spouse, but you inherit also the negative. You inherit the bad. Doesn't mean that why you already know what I'm talking about. You came in looking at only the good things. You like her shape, you like the way she talks, you like the way she laughs, you like the way she plays, you like whatever. You didn't budget for the bad part, but you inherited it. That was nothing for better for worse. You inherited it. It tests your character. You thought you're a good Christian, marriage will test you. You thought you're patient, marriage will test you. You thought you are kind, marriage will test you. All those who praise you, they don't live with you. If you can impress the person you live with, and men, this is where I want to talk to you. If you can impress that woman, because most men at the beginning want to impress a woman, you know, it's a natural instinct in human beings. I told you the story some time ago when I had a house help, you know, a guy, because I had a lot of dogs, so I got this house aid in the house. That was to help with the dogs. So you have big dogs, so you take them for work, clean after them, bathe them, feed them. I needed a guy to do that because the woman couldn't do that. So we had a male help. So after a while, we were having children. We needed a female help that walk inside the house while this guy does stuff outside. So we mistakenly, you know, hired both helps at the same time. So while the male help was there, we got a female help. You know, we didn't know. We're about to breed helps in the house.
feeling landed. This guy that was running his business, the first day he landed, he took off his shirt and was walking like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I said, yeah, I'm done with where your shirt? He was money. He had six pack. In his mind, he had. He had chest. He had not. But he was letting his baby, he just pressed a woman. So the average man wants to impress a woman. So man, the challenge is this. I'm not tripping to impress her when all of you are single. I'm not tripping to impress her. Impress her just the first year of marriage. Can you continue to impress that woman even 10 years into your marriage? That's how you know you're a man. That's how you know you're doing it right. You will keep impressing her. You will keep doing things that will impress her. So it tests your character. It doesn't have to test. Some women don't know they have sharp mouth. You know, this is why you didn't know you had sharp mouth. How do you marry? The women didn't know they had bad character. Your sleeping patterns, your so if you don't know it's not. The baseline is about you test your character. Let me talk about that. So I'm just sharing the reasons why marriage is good. And you see, marriage is like the most powerful relationship in our lives. It's actually the most powerful decision you make outside of receiving Christ. It's the most powerful decision you make outside of receiving Christ. It will change you like nothing else. You know, stronger than your career decision, stronger than your location, stronger than the way you decide to live. The most powerful decision after receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is the decision for all right, the people that started the study have obviously died, but in the way they work, you know, white people are very organized, so they put all their notes down. So from time to time, a new professor takes over to head the project, you know, because the first people that started have died. That lasted 80 years. You know what they did in that study? They studied the impact of family, marriage and family in human beings. So they went and followed these people from when they were kids. They write down notes from every junction in their life. People live longer. Them live healthier, makes them live happy. A group of people that they followed from childhood to when they are, because one of them is dead now, they found out that their marriage makes, you know, helps people live a longer, healthier, happier, and more successful life. So this is why we're investing in marriage. This is why we're investing in your marriage, because I'm just trying to show you that it has so much impact. It has so much impact. Okay, let's move forward. So, and it, like I said, it impacts your life. Some people think, oh, my career is more important than my marriage. You see, the truth is that without a good marriage, if you want to enjoy the success, you can't enjoy it, or you need a good family to enjoy your success. Your marriage can impact your performance at work, and it will also impact how you enjoy your reward from work, okay? Your marriage will impact your performance as well, also impact how you enjoy the rewards, you know, of that work. Okay. My concern of later, part of why we're doing this is that I expect a lot of people are married, but they are not maximizing the whole concept of marriage. Marriage is such a powerful thing, such a beautiful thing, but because many people are not doing it right, they are not maximizing it. You know, marriage success is in degrees. And some are scoring as low as 10%, some are scoring 90%. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that some people are not harnessing not maximizing the whole purpose of marriage. And we're going to look at those things today. Yes, what are
on Zoom or YouTube?
You say the audio, is it my earpiece that causing it? Was I better without the earpiece? Wow. Sorry, guys, we're getting some complaints about the audio. We're getting some complaints about the audio, and you just need to know how your own audio is. Is it good? Can you hear me loud and clear? Okay. People are complaining that it's bad. Wow, sorry guys. What are you using? No, guys, how's the sound? Is it better? Some people had issues with the sound. Sorry, guys, we're just getting the hang of this. Zoom 2 will test your character. You know, thought you were a nice person, thought you were patient. Zoom will test your patience now.
Should we try again without the?
Yeah, please. Okay, besides the try without the earpiece, let me try again. Give me a minute. Hope it's not the network. I see you. You check your.
No, it's good.
Don't you ever check? Are we good?
It's clear on your end, right?
So you say it's clear on your end. Okay, sorry, if it's not clear on your end, maybe you want to do it. That's good, that's fine. All right. You know, so basically, we've dealt with, how important marriage is. The next thing I need to say is that, and I've also mentioned that marriage is in degrees. Some people are not maximizing it, some are maximizing it. The third thing I need to say is that any marriage can work, really. Any marriage can work if, you know, Let's go. Okay, besides not talk too fast too. Alright, so what? Okay, that was so any marriage can work. That's the next thing. Somebody asked me some time ago, he said, if it's true love, can true love, fade? Can true love die? And I asked the person a question back. I said, can original love, love is original, can it still die? Can it ever die? And I asked the person a question. I said, can an original Mercedes-Benz break down? Now I asked the person that, can an original Mercedes-Benz car break down? And the answer to that is yes, it can break down. It can break down. And I said, you see, because it's original doesn't mean it will not be maintained and serviced. For it to continue running and not break down, it must be maintained and serviced. And that is how passion or love in your relationship or marriage is. Just because it's true love or it's passionate love doesn't mean it will not be maintained. It has to be maintained and serviced for it to continue going. All right? So that's what you need to know. It has to be maintained and serviced. So you don't need a new spouse. All right? I'm picking some of this from my book titled You Don't Need a New Spouse. As a counselor, one of the things I get the most is that I need a new spouse. I married the wrong person. I married pastor. The pastor, I married the wrong husband. I married the wrong wife. Some people say, oh, I don't love my spouse anymore. I hear that one a lot. I don't love my spouse anymore. Pastor, help me. I don't love this woman again. You know, I can't explain it. I don't know why. I've tried my best. I mean, if I get a dollar every time I hear that, I'll probably have $100,000 by now. They say, I don't love my husband anymore. I don't love my wife anymore. Another one I hear is that, you know, we are not compatible. We are not compatible. we are not compatible. I hear this one too a lot. This one in the Western world, they call it irreconcilable differences. Irreconcilable differences. The key is that you don't need a new spouse. All right? If you are here and you've ever felt like this, please let me know. If you can, your husband or wife will be happy. If you ever felt like that, please let me know in the comment section. Let me know if you ever felt, hey, what am I doing here? You know, how did I marry this person? Who is this person? Who is this? Who am I? Who are we? Who are us? Sometimes you would just be wondering, what on earth was I thinking? What on earth was I thinking? You don't need a new spouse. I know most of us have talked like this before. You don't need a new spouse. What you just need is a renewed commitment to your old spouse. That's all you need. You don't need a new spouse. All right? There are two things you need to note. Number one is that you are very predictable. You are very predictable. Number two is that you are adaptable. All right? Number one, you are very predictable. Number two, you are adaptable. Okay. What do I mean by you are predictable? What do I mean by you are predictable? What does that mean to you? You are predictable means, as human beings, generally we go through similar seasons as human beings. Now, there are little exceptions here and there, but largely, most of us go through similar situations and challenges. Maybe not at the exact same time, but generally we face it like you're growing up. It's almost the same, you know. We know a certain age range when guys begin to change, when girls begin to change. Everyone knows when the girls will start having things like menstrual cycles, when the boys start having, you know, hair on their face. You know, so there's a general growth pattern. I've actually heard people say there are no rules, that when it comes to my relationship, there are no rules. What works for one might not work for one. Listen, all those things are just, you know, African mentality that hates principles. Then everything in life has rules. Everything has principles. It's part of why Africa is not developed. Because we like luck. We like luck. And we like prayer without action. I believe in prayer. I'm a pastor. I like prayer. But there are many people that pray for what God has asked us to do. They don't want to do what God has asked us to pray about. No, they are different. So, we live in luck or chance or just favor. So we just say, oh, it's God. We don't know why it's working. Everything has principle. And you can't be a God like our God that is running such a mighty planet and not running by principles. What that means, if you take it, let me never go to that. But basically, everything has principles. And so does marriage, so does passion, so does success in your marriage. Like I said, marriage in degrees, some are doing it very poorly, some are doing it very well. The key is for all of us to do well so that you get the best out of marriage. You can actually maximize, you know, the purpose for creating marriage. You can maximize it. And that's my prayer for you. To be honest with you, I'm enjoying marriage and I'm seeing the benefits. You can't even convince me not to marry again. I don't tell my wife, where were you all my life? You know, I wish I could backtrack and marry her earlier. I'd have been more successful, I'd have been greater, I'd have been happier. You know, so I've seen the benefits and I pray you'll begin to enjoy it also. All right, so I said we are predictable. That's number one. we are incredibly predictable. We always like to feel we are special. But the truth is that, yes, you are special, but you are still very predictable. And with proper training and proper learning, you can navigate any season of life and even any season of marriage, you know, with the right learning. So we are predictable, okay? Now, so what happens to many couples is that when they start from, you know, the emotional love. When every couple starts, they start from emotional love. There's something you saw that made you marry your spouse. There's something you saw. You know, everybody starts from that emotional high. Oh man, that person must be meeting a need in your life. Whether it's a good need, bad need, or even a stupid one, the person is meeting a need in your life. Before you marry that person, there's something you saw. You didn't marry at dull point. You know, you didn't marry at dull point. There's something you saw. Nobody forced you. I'm assuming now they didn't force you. All right. So we start from that emotional love, that high love. But the mistake many of us make, the reason why the passion runs dry is that first passion was like a spark. It wasn't really something we did. It's something that just happened to us. And we wrote that passion. We wrote that passion, met the girl. Oh, this part of the passion is great. This one makes a guy go far. You see a guy that lives in Lagos, he sees Benin as very close. He'll just tell his friends after closing work on Friday, and, you know, he'll close early and say, guys, make I just read Benin, you know, just here. He's calling Benin just here. This one makes a guy that lives in VI go all the way to Ikorodu to go and pick his girlfriend to come to the house to visit him. Then after end of the day, he takes her back to Ikorodu to drop her. He's not tired. You know, this emotional, passionate love. This same guy in marriage can never leave his room to the next room or leave his room to come downstairs to meet that same wife. He says it's too tired, it's too stressful. What has changed? Same woman, the same man. This man, you were doing everything for him. Before you married him, he didn't even beg you. You were washing his clothes. You were cooking for him. You were everything. They didn't even beg you. You were not doing by yourself. Now, you can't even start him. What changed? The first passion was not really your doing. It was emotional. The second one, that first one dies after a while. And the second one comes. That one is intentional love, all right? First one is emotional love. The second one is intentional love. And many people get confused. After the emotional love goes, they think that means I don't love my spouse anymore. That's where they get that saying from. They think that means we are no longer compatible. They think that means I need a new spouse. No, you don't need a new spouse. You just need to change gear from emotional love to intentional love. That's all you need to do. All right? That's all you need to do. You need to become more intentional now about loving your spouse. You can't continue riding on the emotional love at this time. It dies. And some people only die before the wedding because they date for a very long time. It dies. Some people only they were married for 1 or 2 years and it still dies because that was never meant to take. It's like when you have milk teeth, it sticks, but it wasn't even designed to last. It's supposed to fall off, then the real ones will grow. That's how this is. The emotional love dies, then the intentional love comes. But many people never know. In fact, for the men sometimes, they don't even know that is what has happened. So see what happens, guys. The man finds out he's no more excited about his wife. So he also doesn't treat her well, all right? He doesn't now call her, he doesn't text her, he doesn't take her out, doesn't talk to her nicely, he doesn't talk to her kindly. So she too now is also, her husband has died. So as he's treating her badly, she's also responding badly. So he will say, you know, I don't love her anymore. He will go out of his house and start another emotional affair with somebody else because he wants that spark again. All one doesn't know is that no matter who he goes to meet, he will come back to this same junction where he needs to be intentional. He needs to change here. Same thing with the woman, right? This first one dies, then we need to become intentional about loving each other. I'll get to that towards the end. Let me move on a bit forward again. Talking about the fact that you are predictable. There is always why. There is why for everything. If right now there's no passion in your relationship, if right now you don't like your husband or wife, if right now you don't like that, you know, you can't understand what your husband or wife is doing, how they're acting, what their behavior is like, one thing you must learn is that there is why. Don't assume that they are just acting out of the blues. There is why. People behave, you know, you get why. You get why. People behave how they behave for certain reasons. So this is important. And for us as therapists, as relationship coach, one of the things we teach us, you must, people don't just behave somehow for no reason. There's a reason. Especially when people are doing things out of character, out of the normal. There's a reason, you know? And if you don't wait to think, you will just get angry for nothing. You must understand that there is a reason why, if your husband is shouting at you, there's a reason. If your spouse is a serial cheater, there's a reason. If your spouse irritates you, there is a reason they are acting the way they do. It's hardly just for the sake of it. I mean, it's rare to see a husband and wife just trying to hurt their partner. It's rare. It's rare. Those are extreme cases. Hardly happens. All right. So there are four reasons why people act the way they do. And you need to understand this thing so that you will start seeing your spouse from a different point of view. There are four reasons why people act the way they do. Four. All right. If you're writing, write it up. But I'll show you on the screen. And maybe they'll send you these notes on your email. I don't know. If they like it, they'll send. Number one thing that influences people's behavior. If you're having issues with your spouse now, or totally hate your spouse's behavior, you know, see, they had this behavior before you married them. Don't forget it. Emotional love blinded you. When you move to intentional love, you will blind yourself. Okay, I'll say that again. When it was emotional love, and you know, they say love is blind, it's true. Because when you're in that emotional high, you are seeing all the flaws. He's lazy, he comes late, he has no drive. Everything you're complaining about now, he had it then, but emotional love blinded you. Now that you are in for intentional love, you need to blind yourself. I'll get to all this thing quite close. All right. So number one thing that influences people's behavior, especially negative things your spouse is doing. Number one, their parents. Their parents. You can also call it engineering. That's what some people call it. If you spell P or an E, choose anyone you like. For parents. Your parents. Guys, let me tell you something. This is one of the biggest lessons I have learned in recent times. It's one of the biggest lessons I've learned in recent times. Your parents, oh my God, is influencing you. Most people's family life, upbringing, is having an incredible effect on their life. They just don't know it. Now, I always knew this thing, but of recent, it has become so real to me. Has become so true to me. I can't even believe how powerful it is. That becomes so real. Statistically, people duplicate majorly what they get from their parents. This means, guys, I want to beg every parent here, every married person here, you know, one of the reasons why you should do your marriage right is for the generations following you. That's one of the reasons. If you're asking yourself, you know, why should I even work on this marriage? Why should I even continue? You know, I'm not talking about somebody that is in a life-threatening situation. I'm not talking about that, or you're in a serious, you know, toxic thing. That's not what I'm talking about. Normal trouble if a marriage faces, okay? And you're wondering, why should I even work on this? Why should I continue? Is it worth it? Let me tell you right now. Listen to me very well now. Whatever you do, it's going to impact your kids. Amazing. I can give you example after example. I don't have time to do that today, but I can give you example after. There's no behavior that doesn't have a reason. There's a why. That parent's upbringing is the one of the strongest. Statistically, they found out that people that grew up in a home where the marriage was broken have a higher chance of ending up in a broken marriage. They found that people that grew up in a house where there's domestic violence, where father beats mother, mother beats father, that they end up marrying someone like that or end up beating their own spouse. This is is statistically proven. I can go on and on. I can go on and on. I mean, it is amazing how much we grab from our parents. I shared the story sometime in church, how I was in London somewhere. I saw one small girl, and she wore something short. Wore this one, earrings everywhere. I was like, a small girl has earrings. By the time her mother passed, her mother was iron. Ring everywhere, chain everywhere. I said, oh, that's where she got it from. Because what you don't realize that your kids are mirroring you. They are learning, even before they start talking, they are learning from you. So one of the greatest things, I want to appeal to all the parents here, all the married couples here, one of the reasons you have to do marriage right is because it will affect your kids. It will affect your kids. If you want to love your kids, you can see parents that say they love their kids and they don't love their spouse. No, if you want to love your kids, if you claim you love your kids, love your spouse. The way to love your kids is to love your spouse. The way to love your kids is to love your spouse. I'll say that again. The way to love your children, you love your children, the way you love them is to love your spouse. The way to love your kids is to love your, sorry, yes, if you want to love your children, love your spouse. If you want to love your children, love your spouse. All right, so that is very crucial, the upbringing. I can give you many stories, but I don't have time to judge it. So if there's violence there, if it's a divorce, you know, I've seen many in my job as a counselor. If you see a woman that walks out of her home and she has daughters, you know, I've seen many, I don't go to stories, but I've seen too many. I've seen cases where, you know, they pass it generation after generation, and they even think it's a demon. It's not a demon, it's just natural principle. It's not a psychological principle. What you see in your parents' marriage. If you grew up in a home where, you know, there are a lot of angry men. They grew up in homes either where there was an absentee father or a present father that was very domineering. All right, listen. And of course, the way you raise boys, it's not how you raise girls. When we start doing webinars on parenting, we'll talk about those things. The way you raise boys, it's not how you raise girls. Because they're not even the same human beings. They're not the same creatures. Men and women are not the same. Scientifically and scripturally and statistically. So I didn't understand why some people try to make them look like they're the same. You will never see God talking to men and women the same. You will never see them in marriage. Never talking to them the same. Never, never, never. There's no way he gives them the same instructions. No. Talk to them differently. Always tell them different roles and different needs. Because they're not the same human beings. Scientifically, science says that somewhere around 6 months, when a child is still inside the womb, that it starts changing. So a male baby, right from the womb, starts changing different from the female baby in the womb. This is scientifically proven. They said somewhere around 6 months, that baby's brain is immersed in testosterone. So it's like testosterone swallows that brain. They say one of the things that happens is that there's a cord connecting the right brain and the left brain that testosterone damages that cord. See, it's one of the reasons why men can't talk as much as women. But see, in the world of a female child, maybe doesn't damage it. So we men can talk. Boop, boop, boop. They talk better. They just communicate better. In fact, women struggle with not talking. Let me ask you, if the man does something and a woman does something, who is likely to confess? A man can lie to his last day. In fact, you can even catch him like this. If he's lying with mouth, he will lie. Even though he's not put together enough to continue acting well, his actions will betray him, but his mouth, he can lie. Never. And he will hold that. A woman, talk to her long enough. She will tell you she needs to talk. It's a need for them. If was a talker, if got in trouble for talking, that's all. We will talk. I can go on and on scientifically, but the baseline, if you see that some angry men, they grow up in homes where, honestly, I don't know if it's about the passion. Should I even tell you this thing? Or should we move on? I don't know, because it's a long story. I have our time. But basically, if you see a man, that grew up either with an absentee father, or a father that was present but very domineering and treated his mom badly and treated them badly, they will be very happy. So you see those men, they will come out and they're the ones trying to fight for women and say men and women are the same, you know, men should not be the head of the home. It's those people because they had bad experiences with the leaders of their own. Everybody's reacting to something. Everybody. Or is somebody behaving in a certain way? He's reacting to something most times. If you see girls, same thing. You see girls have what they call candy issues. Some girls have it, even men have it too. You know, girls have it. Because if a girl's first covering is her dad, there's a love a dad should give to a girl that is not there, it affects. Same thing with the boy, like, gets from his mom. In fact, scientifically,